today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, if you had to choose only six CDs that you could listen to in your car, what would they be?
That's pretty easy. I'd say Highway to Hell, Road to Ruin, Built for Speed, Highway 61 Revisited, The Cars debut, and VOA.
What's that last one?
Oh, you haven't heard that album? Man, it is a classic. Let me play this bit for you.
Truth.
All right, we're in 2019, so we need to start thinking about album anniversaries.
Right. Anything that came out in, let's see, what would the years be?
So like 1969, 1979, so on and so forth.
Yeah, 89 was a big year.
If the listeners have any suggestions of what they'd like to hear album anniversary series that we like to do,
that'd be great.
Let us know. In the meantime, we're going to answer some fan mail about some album anniversary shows we did regarding some albums that came out on anniversaries of 2018.
Yep, exactly. We got our stuff together.
We like the round numbers, by the way. So, you know, the tens and fives and that kind of stuff. So last year, we did some shows about some albums that we thought were particularly important that came out in years past on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And let's address some of the correspondence now, right?
Cool.
Okay. Before we do that, though, what do we got here again? It's Stone Tangerine Express IPA.
That's right. Give it a... Ah, that's a good crack. Superior crack.
Okay. Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
We talked about It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, right?
Uh-huh.
And which came out in 88.
Yeah.
And here is a Facebook comment from Trip Bacon.
Trip Bacon.
Beaverton, Oregon. He says, I finally found a car for my daughter recently.
Ah.
And it came with, not a tape deck, but a six disc changer with factory installed Bose speakers. Now, we don't know if the six disc changer is in the trunk.
We don't.
So let's just assume that it
please,
is.
Trip.
Okay. He says, in order to test out the system, I chose six CDs to test out various tracks while cruising the back roads of Oregon.
Nice.
This record, meaning the Public Enemy record, was number three on the list, with Night of the Living Bassheads being the first track that I cranked.
There it is.
Here it is. Bam. And you say, God damn, this is a dope jam. But let's define the term called dope, and you're thinking me funky now. No, here is a true tale. Why the ones that deal, all the ones that fail, yeah. You can move if you want to move. What it prove? It's here like the groove. The problem is this. We gotta fix it. Check out the justice and how they run it. Selling, smelling, sniffing, riffing. And brothers trying to get swift in. Selling their own, rob a home. While some shrivel a bone like comatose walking around. Please don't confuse this with the sound. I'm talking about bass.
What's the night? Bass, bass.
Come on.
What's the night?
Bass, bass, bass.
What's the night?
Then he says, for the record, the other albums picked to sample were, in order, Appetite for Destruction.
Nice.
Never Mind, Rage Against the Machine, What's the Story, Morning Glory, and Master of Puppets.
Nice.
Be the Metallica. So,
honey, I'm going to be gone for about 9 hours with your car.
Yeah.
And Trip, I want to say thank you again for sending your awesome mix to us on CD and cassette. But if I could ask one more small favor, if you could find me a pickup truck with a cassette player and buy it, I'll make you a deal. I will come out to Beaverton, Oregon and to drive it back across
the
country.
Oh, wow. That would be something.
Yeah. But if all you need to do is find it and purchase it and put a tape deck in, that's all I'm asking.
That's all.
Is that so much to ask from the fans?
So do you have this situation? I know you just got a new turntable. And in the past, I'm sure, you know, you've acquired or purchased other pieces of audio equipment. Do you... Do you put thought into like what's the first thing that this will play? Like how to like, well, you know, break it in, right? Or inaugurate it?
I do think it's pretty important. And actually on my new turntable, I think I mentioned this. The first thing I cranked was that 45 you gave me of Chevrolet Van by the Nude Party. Yeah. And that was a pretty good one to make sure it was sounding okay.
That's good.
Yeah. But I used to always play, I don't move much anymore, but back in the early days, I had a weird habit. We moved around when we first got married. You know, you get an apartment, get another apartment, it gets too small, blah, blah, blah. So we lived in 5, 6 maybe different places. But the first album I'd always play in a new place we moved into was Astral Weeks by Van Morrison.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why I acquired that habit.
If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream, where mobile steel rims crack and the ditch and the back road stop, could you find me? Or would you kiss my eyes, laying it down, silence easy to be born again, to be born again?
You want the new place to have a good chi or something,
that's
right?
That's exactly,
you
know, what it right? is. Yeah, yes. You want to warm the chi
so,
up.
You know, yeah,
it's the feng shui. Sort of, yeah.
Yes. So I get that. I get that. The last turntable I got was a few years ago, and I still to this day remember that I specifically put on a James Brown album first.
I don't care about your past. I don't care, darling, about your thoughts. I just want to satisfy your faults. Oh, when you kiss me, when you miss me, hold my hand, make me understand. I pick up in a cold sweat. Oh.
And it wasn't so much necessarily a test the quality of the turntable. I mean, I was probably part of it, but it was almost just like this turntable needs to understand the, you know, what good music is like right now. Like it needs to get that.
That's right.
And how am I going to what better way to initiate the turntable
That's
into
right,
the home
to understand.
Than to play some James Brown.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you got a used one, you'd be like, maybe your last relationship wasn't good or the last owner. You know, I want to show you how things are
right.
here. It's a safe space. We love you.
Right.
So, yeah.
Maybe it was abused in some way and you need to bring it back right. in. Get it.
Start a rescue
make it
service.
Feel
for
better. Or maybe, it, you know, if it had to play a lot of bad music,
right.
then you want it to like cleanse the palate.
That's
you know?
Right. Heal it.
Get
in some
that
way.
All out. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Make it feel good about the new home that it is living in. All right. Okay. So that was cool. So yes,
yep.
but yeah, blasting some Public Enemy in the new vehicle. Now, I don't know if the daughter still listens to those 6 records or.
Yeah, that's curious. Know, are they locked in there? Like they never will come out.
Is that just Tripp's thing? So
yeah,
all right.
We'll see.
Okay. Let's move on to the next.
Kurt Gallagher.
The next Facebook comment we got was about the album Are We Not Men? We Are Devo.
Yeah, let me take this one, Jim.
Okay.
Because Kurt from Suffern, New York, it's also a lifestyle, apparently. In 78, I was a junior in high school working at Burger King into typical rock and roll. Led Zeppelin, Skinner, Bad Company, Springsteen, but also open to newer stuff like Elvis Costello, Patti Smith, The Cars, Cheap Trick, Tom Petty, The Clash, etc. I saw Devo videos on TV, which were unavoidable if you were stayed up at late at night trolling for music. Yeah, so true. But the songs never stood out to me. I liked the videos, but I was more of a visual thing. I didn't buy the album until they took the number one spot on Cream Magazine's Critics Poll in 78 or 79. Not only was I a fan of artists, but in those days, I was also a fan of critics. Kiss Gal, Bangs, Marsh, Cameron Crowe. And Cream was right in my wheelhouse. I bought the album right away and loved it immediately. It's a top five all-time LP for me. Side note, I just realized that another of my all-time top five has a different sound but a completely similar theme, the Kinks' Muswell Hillbillies. Thanks, guys. Great episode. Hey, Spuds, choose your mutations well. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Kurt.
I never would have put
no
Devo and Muswell Hillbillies together.
I think you could. I mean, it's a thin gossamer thread, but you might be able to get those two together in a way. Yeah, if you believe it, Kurt, it is so.
The other thing that's interesting here, too, is the power of the music critic at that time.
Yeah,
right?
Because very true.
This would have been in the day where you couldn't just sample stuff easily. You couldn't hear these records
no.
anyway. So you really had to rely on those people who you trusted who wrote about stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And mm-hmm. in a way that you might trust a podcast today to bring you.
I think that's kind of what it is, yeah. to cut through the clutter and make sense of the world. That's what we're here to do.
Exactly. So thank you for that, Kurt. Okay, I'll read this next one to you.
Okay.
I think you're going to appreciate this one here. This is from Mike Coley up in New York State.
Yep.
It's regarding Sonic Youth's Daydream Nation, which we discussed, mm-hmm. and you had a story about that, right?
Yes.
You had kind of some bad experiences with that record.
I
is
did.
That right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was just one of those things that came out when you're in a time of severe heartbreak, and anything you hear that's, you know, fresh and new and creative makes you sad as hell and you don't want to remember it.
So I think Mike here can relate. So Here's Mike's story. He says, "Hey there, fellas. Loved the episode on Daydream Nation's 30th anniversary. Patrick's story prompted me to write. I have a similar connection to this album.
What?
In 1988, I was dating a girl from high school, but we were attending different colleges a couple of hours apart. Her birthday fell during our semester break that year, so I was eager to get to see her again and give her her birthday present.
Okay.
She was a big fan of Neil Diamond's Hot August Nights album.
Ooh.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I never cared for the sound of being alone.
That should have been my hint that this whole thing may not work out.
Right.
But I bought her a copy of the newly released Hot August Nights 2 as her gift.
Oh, that's thoughtful.
I flew up to her house to give it to her, expecting her to rip right into it and love it. She met me at the front door. I handed her the gift. She said something along the lines of, "I can't accept this from you. I think we should just be friends."
Oh, no.
And then she closed the door on me. A Rob Gordon moment for me, if there ever was one. Devastated, I got in my car and immediately returned to Record Giant, tearing off the wrapping paper as I offered my sob story to my friend behind the counter. The store policy was no refunds, even on unopened merchandise.
Whoa.
But he let me trade it in for something else.
Good man.
What I picked up that day changed my life. Daydream Nation and Jane's Addiction's Nothing Shocking.
Wow.
So, thanks to my old girlfriend for dumping me on the front porch and opening my ears to a whole new world of music. Sonic Youth has stayed with me since that day. Keep on rocking the suburbs, boys, and I'll keep listening every day. From Mike Coley.
Wow, it's nice to hear from Mike. That's an amazing story. It really is. It's such a much happier ending than mine. And Jane's Addiction on the same day. That's pretty great. All for the price of Hot August Nights, too. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So if not for that terrible breakup,
yeah,
he would have led a much different life, right?
It's incredible.
Free of Sonic Youth. And we can't have that.
No, we cannot have that. Yeah. You can't be sitting around listening to Neil Diamond.
He might have had a soulmate forever and a happy family, house full of children, and then later on grandchildren, and and all of that love and devotion and emotion just in the air.
Yeah.
Or Daydream Nation.
Yeah.
I go Daydream Nation on that one, right?
It's pretty easy. Yeah. That's, I would slam the door on her, too.
That's right. There you go.
Awesome, man. That's thank you for sharing that,
that's
Mike.
Great.
That was
and
really
actually,
great.
You know what? And as I'm thinking about this more, too, Daydream Nation is probably a pretty great like breakup record to listen to, too.
Well,
don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of emotion and anger, and yeah, you can get yourself pretty cathartic with that record.
Yeah, so, all right, very good. So,
that's fantastic.
Thanks to everyone who corresponds with us. We love it so much. Great stories.
So great.
Keep it coming. So the way you can do that is you can call 612-440-1984. You didn't hear any calls on this episode, but you'll hear them on other ones. And we like that because then we, you know, it's so great when people tell the story in their own voice.
Oh, I love that.
Listen to me reading it.
Yeah.
But if you'd rather send the email like these people do, you can email rock@suburbspod.com or the Facebook too. Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Or, you know, you can send us letters. You can...
Letters work.
Can send us signals.
Free stuff. Right? That's always a thing you can do.
Yes, right. We like the free stuff.
Morse code. Somehow we'll pick that up, I think, if you do that.
How will the truck arrive exactly? Will that...
Oh, you said
you'll go get that.
That's right. Let me know. Okay. I don't want to burden anybody if they've, you know, gone to the trouble of buying it. I'll take it from there.
Okay. All right. Very good.
You need to just put the title on the seat. You know, just tell me where it is.
That seems fair. Seems totally reasonable.
Do you ever have a car, Jim, with one of those things where they, like, it was a spare key and somewhere up underneath the car, you had a little magnetic box?
Yes.
Yes. So you can do that. And I'll slide under, grab it, and just, I'll be out of your hair. Trip.
All of which is a way of saying that after these many, many months when your car engine blew up, you still don't have a new vehicle.
I don't. Mm-mm. No car. No. I do not have a car.
No.
Although I got to tell you, I've been enjoying walking around my town and getting to know some of the spots, some of the alleys.
That's good.
Places where I can just catch a quick nap.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The reason you don't have the car is because you have these children who have cars, and you have to pay for all of that, right?
It's kind of crazy to have a family where we have four cars and I don't have one of them.
None of them are yours.
We own four cars, so I really shouldn't be complaining about it, but actually the one from Wisconsin may come back because it's frozen and it's getting a lot of parking tickets and it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
So maybe that'll happen. Now, do any of your cars have a hole in the passenger side floorboard?
Not currently.
No.
But I used to have one like that. It was in the back seat. Yeah. It was great.
All right. Let's just move
on. That's a whole nother episode.
That's a feature all cars should have. All right. Let's move on from this. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Was American Beauty kind of based on Kurt because he was back in high school working at the drive-thru, the burger shop? And
okay. American Beauty.
I was thinking about the movie. You know, Kevin Spacey kind of drops out and goes back to working at the burger drive-thru place.
I got it.
Yeah, it's a dark, dark film, but...
Not the Grateful Dead album.
No.
Okay.
That would be a thread too far.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This is the Tangerine Express.
That's talking.
Talking here.
Mm-hmm.